Father God, we thank you for your word that we've heard read. We pray that as I speak, that you might, in your mercy, give me the words to say. Help us to hear them not as my words, but as your words. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, when my wife and I met, we had very different ideas of money and possessions. We both came from poor backgrounds. But the way that we had been taught to value money and possessions was quite different. I had been taught by my parents to only spend money when necessary. It was important for us not to waste money. We tried not to buy anything at all unless we really needed it. And if we did have to buy something, we'd try to get it as cheap as possible. My wife's family, they didn't save money so much. They were a bit more impulsive in their spending. She tells me they'd often end up with no money towards the end of the week. They always had really good birthday presents, though, even if it meant that sometimes they went without food. Our families instilled in us different views on money and possessions. I remember a big conflict we had when we had been dating for a while. She'd been working as a waitress and wanted to spend more than a week's wage on a pair of snow pants. I thought it was so silly. We didn't even go to the snow. Wasn't there better things to spend her money on? Couldn't she save it, wait, maybe find something cheaper? There was a few weeks' worth of discussion right there. He's too controlling, she's so silly. It was clear that we had inherited different priorities for our money and possessions. The way we used our money and possessions pointed to differences in our deeper held values. I wanted her to be a bit more wiser and in control of her spending. She wanted the freedom to be able to spend, to be impulsive. What we valued, what we treasured, was different. If we were going to be married, we were going to have a few hard talks. Not just on financial management, but about how we differed in what we valued and treasured. How about you? Have you ever had conflict over what you value, what you treasure? Have you thought about what you treasure? Maybe you have thought about what you treasure, but as we think about it again today, it's worth rethinking, because our hearts are always being tempted by new treasures. Jesus here is giving what's called the Sermon on the Mount. We're in the middle of it, and he wants to have a talk with us about what we treasure. Jesus here says, gives three sayings, three instructions, and these instructions contain four warnings about how we treasure money and possessions. He's also going to give us a way to escape the danger that he gives in these warnings, and a way that we can obtain a much greater treasure and keep it forever. So please read with me the first saying in verse 19, Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, and it contains his first warning. The warning is that all earthly treasure is temporary and unstable, and if your treasure is earthly, it will be destroyed. Verse 19 says, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal." Jesus talks about moths and rust. Some translations say vermin or mice. It doesn't matter, the meaning's the same. Jesus is saying, don't store up your treasures on earth, because treasure on earth, in one way or another, will be destroyed. Rust will eat it away, moths might eat it, vermin might eat it. What won't rust will get eaten, and what can't get eaten might get stolen. Everything on earth is unsafe, don't trust it. It's tempting though, isn't it? To have treasures to extract pleasure from the things that we can see. Whether it's a cool new gadget like a new phone or a new TV, maybe a new car or a new tractor. I don't know what you treasure. I'm a city boy. I don't treasure R.M. Williams boots. I've heard they're pretty good, though. It might be clothing, a new handbag or ski pants. Maybe a bit more like me, you might find safety and treasure in your bank balance. The promise of these treasures is that they will satisfy, they'll make you happy, keep you safe. And Jesus says, no, don't trust them. If you rely on material possessions, any earthly treasure for your security your pleasure, your satisfaction. Beware, because it's temporary. Your iPhone screen will break, or you'll lose it, or it'll become obsolete in a few years. Or maybe it's your superannuation. During the financial crisis a few years ago, the average Aussie lost 21% of their hard-earned super. Housing prices are starting to go down. But perhaps you treasure people, family. But we know too, don't we, that family gets sick and die. Jesus doesn't just give us the negative though, he gives us a positive contrast. Verse 20, after saying don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, where thieves can't break in and steal. Jesus makes the contrast. In heaven, no thief can steal, no rust can destroy, no moth will eat, no sickness will kill, no financial crisis, nothing will take it away. He wants us to treasure something that we can't see. And he's been making a similar point earlier in the chapter about what we value. At the start of chapter 6 in verse 1 he says, don't do your charitable deeds or practice your righteousness in front of people to be seen by people, otherwise you'll have no reward from your Father in heaven. See, he warns people against practicing their righteousness or devotion to God to be seen by others. He says, if you give in verse 2 to 4, he says, give it in secret. If you pray, he says, verses 5 and 6, pray in secret. If you fast, he says in verses 16 and 18, fast in secret. And in each case, at the end of it, he says, rather than the fleeting earthly reward of empty praise and honour from people, you will receive a reward from your Father in heaven. He'll reward what is done in secret. Jesus' teaching here about the treasures in heaven, storing your treasures in heaven, follows on from that. Jesus wants us to be focused not on a visible treasure on earth, but an invisible treasure in heaven. But I have a question. How? How do you stop treasuring the good things that God gives us? Money can be a good thing. We all need money. It's ridiculous to think we don't. But how do I stop treasuring it? My wife, my family, they're great things. I love them. How do I not treasure those things? How do I store my treasure in heaven? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 21, but we're going to come back to it in a second. We'll look at the rest of the passage first and we'll come back to verse 21. So we're going to jump to verse 22. And it's a funny little saying. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? What does that mean? Bit weird. Jesus tells us that the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye, the lamp, is good, your body will be full of light. But if it's bad, the whole body is in darkness. And if you think about it for a second, that makes sense. If I close my eyes and try to walk around the room, I'm going to start bumping into things. I can't see. My body can't see what's happening. But why does Jesus start talking about light and darkness? If you look at the surrounding passage, what we just read, 19 and 20, and if you look at verse 24 after it, Jesus is talking about treasure. He's talking about money. And that's a big hint to us that what's in the middle is also about money and treasure. And it's actually Jesus' second warning. You see, what we look at, what we set our ambitions on, is what we treasure. Many people window shop. I don't like going to shopping centres in the city. It's too busy, too expensive. I don't like to spend money. But I do like internet shopping. See, nothing beats a good bargain on the internet. eBay, Amazon. I like cycling, like push bikes. And the number of different bikes that you can get around, that you can get road bikes, mountain bikes, cyclocross bikes, you can get full carbon fibre bikes, electric bikes, and everything in between. Guys get busted by their wives sometimes, staying up late at night, looking at pictures of bikes. What we desire, our ambitions, our treasures, what do? Don't we always look at it? We set our sights on it. We're always looking at what we treasure. Real estate, houses, cars, bikes, utes, clothes, shoes, shares, investment, our bank balance. What we treasure, we're always looking at. And that's Jesus' warning. What are you ambitious for? What do you treasure? What do you lust after? What do you have your sights set on? Because if it's healthy, it can fill you with light. If it's unhealthy, though, it will fill you with darkness. If our eyes are lusting after some earthly treasure, Jesus warns us, we will be filled with darkness. How can we be filled with light rather than darkness? What should we be setting our sights on? How do we ensure we've got good eyes that fill us with light? Jesus does tell us, but again, we're going to come back to it in a minute. So two warnings so far. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth. They'll be destroyed. Second warning, what we set our sights on, what we treasure, will fill us with either darkness or light. And Jesus is building up to this third saying, a third warning here. If you set your sights on earthly treasure, if they are set on earthly treasures, then you will be mastered by them, and there will no longer be room for God in your life. Verse 24, no one can serve two masters, for either he'll hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon. Now, mammon's an old word. We don't use it anymore. Newer translations have money. But mammon's actually the better word, because it's not just talking about your money, your bank balance. It's talking about all of your possessions, your money and your possessions, all of your wealth. And Jesus says you can't serve two masters. You can't have two number one priorities. Something has got to give. And Jesus drives it home at the end. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve your wealth and God at the same time. God will not have any of it. He will not share your heart. But why? Why would you serve your wealth? That doesn't make sense. What? We don't serve our wealth, do we? That doesn't it serve us? Doesn't your wealth give you security in case things go wrong? Freedom to do what you like when you like, to holiday where and when you please, buy what you want when you want it, to splurge on yourself and others, to provide for your family, your children, your grandchildren. That's the promise of wealth. But let me put it to you that whatever you treasure, whatever you set your sights on, will become your master. To put it another way, whatever you put at the center of your being, your life will begin to revolve around that. And it will become your master. Your life will begin to revolve around your money, your possessions, and it'll master you. If you value work, if you put work at the center of your life, perhaps it's because you enjoy the feeling of productivity, or you like the control you have at work, or the reward that it brings. If you put work at the center of your life, work will become your master. Perhaps you treasure power and control. Money promises that. If you put power and control at the center of your life, power itself will become your master. But we can also treasure people's opinions about us, over and above Jesus' opinion of us. And our lives will revolve around making people like us, seeking their approval. We'll become mastered by other people. And our life then becomes more about getting what we treasure. More power, more control, more money, being liked more, maybe more likes on Facebook or Instagram. Our happiness, our anxiety gets tied to what we treasure. Even our families can be things that we treasure the most. Our family's a good thing. I love my wife, I love my kids. But life could quickly become about advancing only my own family, seeing them succeed academically or financially. And I have family friends who love their kids growing up. They wanted them to see them successful, to find good jobs, find a nice partner, have a good education. They're good things. I'm sure we all want them for our kids or for yourselves. And you know what? Those friends growing up, they managed to get those things. They got great jobs, good partners, but they wandered away from Jesus a long time ago. They picked up what their parents treasured. It was education before Jesus. It was working hard before Jesus, and soon it wasn't Jesus at all. Family can become a treasure. Entertainment. Pokies and gambling. That's an easy one, right? How quickly a form of entertainment captures and masters you. But what does it do? It chews you up and spits you out. Wealth is not a good master. It promises a lot and delivers little. Friends, we need to escape the lies that wealth tells us about. You can't have a foot in both camps. Jesus will not share. Look at the words Jesus uses to describe what you'll be mastered by. He uses, you'll love one, hate the other. You'll be devoted to one, despise the other. You can't love, you can't be devoted to both God and wealth. You can't say, yes, I want protection from God, but I also want the protection that wealth gives. How do we escape, though? How do we escape being mastered by our wealth? How do we ensure that God is our master, not our wealth? How do we ensure that our eyes are healthy, that our body is being filled with light? How do we store that eternal treasure in heaven? If you are anything like me, you're going to find that really difficult. In the argument that I had with my girlfriend, now wife, what we valued was different. She valued goods and freedom. I valued the money. But they're both still earthly things. They're just different ways of using it. You know, I can treasure my family, my goods, my money. My ambition is not always pure. My priorities are not always clear. God is not always my only master. My treasures are so often of this earth. What do I do? The answer lies in the fourth warning of the passage. I skipped over it earlier. We're coming back to it now. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If what you treasure is at the center of your being, your heart will be there. What you treasure will capture your heart. If you treasure things on earth, your heart, your love, will be tied to those things. If your ambition, your eyes, are on those things, you'll be filled with darkness. Those treasures will become your master. But Jesus is offering a solution. Jesus' solution to that problem, it's not so much where your treasure is, but who is your treasure. Let me suggest that Jesus wants you to treasure him. Jesus wants you to have him at the center of your being. Jesus wants your heart. Where is the treasure? It's the speaker of this message. Not me, Jesus. Jesus isn't like some wealth expert, you know, the ones, there's seminars, if you pay $1,500, they'll tell you how to get rich. I always think, I don't need to go to your seminar. I should start the seminar. That's how you get rich. Jesus isn't a wealth management expert trying to take your treasure. In fact, Jesus is the one who left his treasure in heaven to make you his treasure. And that's the key. Jesus is the living God. He left his throne in heaven, his special place with the Father. That's what we remember at Christmas time, the birth of Jesus. But it's Jesus, the living God, who became part of his own creation. He takes on flesh, leaving the Father, to live the life of a man. He's despised, he's rejected, he dies penniless, naked, on a cross. Why? It's to make you his treasure. Us, the ones who so quickly will treasure other things. The ones who are devoted to our money, our possessions. Who love the created things rather than loving the Creator. To use a jargon term, that's what the Bible calls idolatry. When we love the things that God created rather than loving the Creator, God himself. We don't obey, worship, love. We don't treasure God. Even when we acknowledge God, it's often because we want what God can give us. I always used to do that, you know, at school. Most of the time I'd pray just before exams. Why? Not because I love God. Because I want him to help me out. And Jesus comes to us, to people who would ignore him, reject him and kill him. And he dies, taking our place, taking the penalty that we deserve for treating God and treating God's creation like he and everything of his belongs to us. Jesus pays a ransom. He ransoms us from being mastered by these idols, these treasures. In his great love for his creation, God gives the Son that he treasures for us. It's knowing this love of God in Jesus that will melt all the other treasures from your heart. When you set your ambition, your sight on the light of the world, that is what will fill you with goodness. Setting our sights on earthly treasures will fill us with darkness, blind us to reality. Setting our sights on Jesus lets us see the unseen reality, this unseen treasure in heaven. Do you know the love of God in Jesus? Do you know the price that he has had to pay to make you his treasure? Do you know the forgiveness, the freedom, the joy of knowing Jesus? If you don't know the love of God in Jesus, if you don't know him as your good and loving master, if you want to escape from being mastered by wealth and treasures of this earth and want to store for yourself eternal treasure in heaven, then I want to invite you to get to know this Jesus. Set your sights, your ambitions on getting to know him. He's the greatest master, the master who gives his own life to serve his servants. And when you give all that you have to Jesus, when he's your treasure, you actually don't lose anything. In fact, he enriches everything else in your life. He enriches your relationships, your family, your children. He gives your earthly wealth a purpose. Now, many of you would already know Jesus. And I want to ask you, is he your treasure? Not just a master, a treasure. Do you look to him for your joy, your identity, your being? When you think of heaven, is Jesus there? Or are you thinking of the things that you can get from Jesus? Or is your treasure in heaven being with Jesus himself? The things we get from Jesus are good, but Jesus himself is much better. Knowing his love, having left his treasure to treasure those who would forget him and despise him, should motivate us to imitate our master. Will you leave behind your treasures to love those who despise and reject? Will you leave behind your treasure to love the people of Eagle Hawk, those who don't know him? When we know him, when we belong to him, we lack nothing. Knowing our good master Jesus is what allows us to be generous with our earthly wealth. Are you using the gifts and wealth that God has given you generously? As generous as God has been to you in Jesus? Or are you in danger of using your wealth to serve your own desires, rather than hoarding and protecting your own wealth, whatever it is that you treasure? Will you use what you treasure to serve the Lord Jesus and his people? Will you use it to serve the people of Eagle Hawk, of Bendigo, to love them as Christ has loved us? Jesus' words call us to examine ourselves. Examine how are we using our wealth. To identify what we treasure. To serve him with our time, our money. To set our ambitions on him. Jesus has given us four warnings in the passage. Treasures on earth will be destroyed. What you set your sights on will fill you with either light or darkness. What you treasure will become your master. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Your heart can only belong to one master. Jesus will not share your heart. Where will it be? loving and devoted to the treasures of this earth, or will your heart be stored forever with Jesus, a treasure in heaven? Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we are sorry. We're sorry that we so often treasure the things that you give us rather than treasuring you. Our ambitions are set so often on what we can get rather than knowing and loving you. We thank you that though you knew that, you were willing to leave your treasure behind, to love us by dying for us on the cross. We pray that we might know your love, that we might treasure you above all things. We pray that you might give us your Spirit to help us do that. In your name we pray. Amen.